minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the show. Here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Colorado State going up against Nevada tonight. Their first conference game. This would be their first win against Nevada if they can get this one done. CSU men's basketball looking for first conference win against the Nevada Wolfpack. Some interesting things for tonight. Can you believe this one? Little tidbit for you, Angel. This is game 100, assuming Isaiah Stevens plays in it tonight. He is at 99, looking for game 100 for Colorado State.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. He's doing some really big things here. He's not quite the program leader for career point assist double-double, but he did pass up Ryan Yoder. So now, he's moving on up the chains, and it's exciting to see him do this. He's a great player. The question is, can you get some consistent help for him? Nevada, meanwhile, sitting at 12-3, 2-0 in the conference. They just they beat Air Force. It was a close game. They beat Air Force 75-69 the other night. And this is, you look at some of the studs on this team. Jared Lucas had 28 points. He gets to the free throw line. And a pretty good defensive team. So Colorado State's going to have their work cut out for them. And you talk about, we had Brohard on yesterday, and just a lot of people I've talked to. My guy Steve Ivey from Ram Nation was hitting me up with some texts this morning, talking about how it's been inconsistent. They just haven't been able to get all the same guys on the floor. And you knew the David Roddy thing. Obviously, you're going to have to adjust. You knew your best player leaving was going to have to be an adjustment period for this team. So you got to get over it, though. And then Isaiah Stevens gets hurt at the beginning of the year. You were really hoping you'd start to get, like, Josiah Strong. That was another player you were really wanting to see play consistently. Haven't been there. And it's, Jalen Lake. We haven't seen him a lot. Tavi Jackson was back the other night against San Jose State. But you haven't seen the group that they really want together, that Medved and his crew want to see together on a very consistent basis. And, Isaiah Stevens is harping on that, consistency. It's hard to develop that. I'm looking at tonight, though, and again, reading between the lines. We talked to Mike Brohard yesterday. I said, pick out a player outside of Isaiah Stevens that you would like to see really step up. And he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pick out just one player. So he picked out like four, and he said John Tanjay first. I think we can all agree that it's Tanjay's probably the second best player on this team. So you want to see something from him. He was 3 of 13 the other night, 2 of 6 from the three-point line. And you're going to need him to pick up his scoring. Isaiah had 24. It's like a completely different thing when you're talking about UNC. Because you're like, you have Dalen Kuntz, you have Dalton Connect, and you have Matt Johnson. Those guys, two or three, are going to get you close to 20. You're probably going to get two guys in the 20s, maybe more than that. You're going to get another guy in the 10s or whatever. And if he's not in the 10s, you're going to have Dalton Connect score 29 and to make up for that. CSU doesn't have that secondary guy that's picking it up. David Roddy, and then it was Isaiah Stevens. Who's going to be that other guy that really comes to the table on a nightly basis for the Rams? I think it's going to be a guy like John Tanjay tonight. I hope. Now, I'm not getting my hopes up too big for this game tonight against Nevada. This is going to be a tough game.
Do you think a guy like Patrick Cartier,
getting
19.3 minutes per game? Do you think maybe a little more usage of him?
I don't. Yeah, he seems like a really good player, and he's making that adjustment from the JUCO level here. I thought he was a fine player. Again, the games I've seen with him in it, he looks really good. He was a spark plug for some of their nice wins.
12 points a game, about 3 rebounds a game. So I think we're just more minutes. You'll get those up.
What's Isaiah? He's the leading scorer, right? What's his average?
Isaiah's at 18 points per game.
And who's second?
Tanjay with 14.
So what you ultimately, and again, I know we're just looking at a stat sheet, a box score, and that doesn't tell the whole story here, but it does sometimes, analytics of it, is you want to see Isaiah probably over that 20 mark, and you want to see Tanjay getting approaching that 20 mark. You got to have two guys that are in that 20 area. And yeah, they got to be better defensively. They have to be better, you know, they have to be consistent. A lot of times you talk about basketball consistency. What does that even mean? Well, I love what Dalen said today. Dialing in. That's kind of consistency, isn't it? If I'm dialed in every single possession, which is so hard to do that, because, you know, you're thinking of other things. I mean, look at Michael Porter Jr. I know I'm making several comparisons, but that guy's thinking about scoring. If he's not dialed in on this possession right here to stop this guy in front of me, by the time you think about something else or look away, boom, he's by you. And at the college level, they're pretty quick too. So if you're not focused on stopping them defensively, then you screw up on offense. You don't get to set up your offense. Then you start forcing things.
Yeah, and just being dialed in, it's more than just, you know, play by play. It's, okay, this team's on a 10-0 run. We haven't scored in 3 minutes. I got to stay focused. I can't get crazy and just start shooting. I can't, you know, try to get wild in the passing lane and take a pass away. But you have to stay dialed in, and it takes a full team effort. Like you said, you need two scorers, two guys that you can get points from, but you need all five guys on the court playing at a full effort.
Yeah, you do. And that's the difference in basketball sometimes. A lot of these teams are close. You know, Ivy was going back and forth with me again. Steve Ivy, check out his stuff at ramnation.com. Great CSU Rams outlet if you want Rams information. He texted me this earlier, and I want to read it on the air. I hope that's okay. He said, but the top teams in the conference, the margins between winning and losing are so fine when dealing with injury. New Mexico lost to Fresno State last night, which is crazy. CSU plays Fresno State after
undefeated.
Nevada. Yeah, they were like...
They were the only
22.
Undefeated team.
And they were top 22, 20, 21 or something like that. But then Wyoming almost beat them, and then Fresno State beats them, so now you're going, okay, there you go. But they were missing their sixth man, their other stud guy off the bench. That's the thing, though. When you're missing guys, it's really, especially basketball, it's really hard to overcome stud basketball players that go down. That's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, because you get a feel for your rotation. If you're the starter, if you're coming off the bench, you have a feel for who you're on the court with. That chemistry is there. And when you take just one piece out of that, it can throw the whole thing off.
It certainly can. I mean, yeah, it messes up the rotation and everything. That's why I'm like not crazy about the idea of trading Jamal Murray. Because it's not necessarily about Jamal that he's untouchable. It's that I don't want to throw off the feng shui of the bench here. I don't want to mess with that too much. I don't want to take Jamal Murray out and suddenly I'm starting Bones and now Ish Smith is the backup point guard or whatever. I don't want to do that. And that's a big deal. When Isaiah Stevens went down, you had to ask a lot of guys to step up. And in this case, you know, get Isaiah back. All right, you got your star scorer, but who's going to join him? Who's going to be in that mix? So my poll question today, are you pressing the panic button on CSU Rams season? Now, I had a question that said, I mean, what do you mean by pressing the panic button? On the season or Nico Medved? And I mean, the poll question says, are you hitting the panic button on the season for CSU men's basketball? So it's the season. Nico Medved is not under pressure right now. They could lose all of their games, which would be pretty bad, but they could lose the rest from here on out, and Nico Medved ain't going anywhere. He has built himself up a nice little cushion that probably gives him some staying power where he could have even next year could be a down year too. And next year could be a down year. You're going to be done with Isaiah Stevens. But for my money right now, no. I mean, Nico is beloved. He is a great community guy. He's a great basketball coach. There's zero pressure on Nico Medved as it stands today on this fourth day of January. And I think that holds true to every coach that I talk about here today as far as basketball. I'll tell you what, Michael Malone's under more pressure than all the other guys. Tad Boyle ain't going anywhere. That guy's going to retire as the Buffs coach whenever he's ready. Jeff Linder ain't going anywhere. They're dealing with a major injury with Graham E.K. Steve Smiley ain't going anywhere unless he wants to.
Just signed a 5-year extension.
Yeah, he ain't. They're happy with him. And they're going to go through even some bumps and bruises with Steve Smiley eventually, too. They're fine. They're fine. And then CSU, they're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. Tell you what, Michael Malone's under the most pressure of all those guys. Because it's, can you, you have the team, you have maybe a three-time MVP, can you take it to the next level? So as far as Nico goes, no. Not hitting the panic button on any of that. 16 minutes after the hour, let's go with a little Broncos talk coming up next. Benjamin Albright from Broncos Country tonight. He'll talk to us about what he's hearing as far as the NFL plans with the Bengals-Bills game, of course, and then the Broncos head coaching search. We'll talk to Ben coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Certainly an interesting week in the NFL, and we're all thinking and praying and whatever it is we do, maybe donating money to DeMar Hamlin's toy drive, to the GoFundMe page, all of that. It's been, that part's been kind of cool to see, you know, so many people talking and sharing stories, and we're just hoping for the best. And, you know, I'm thinking of that day when maybe he comes out of all this and gets to see all of what's happening throughout the country. Joining me now, host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright. Benjamin, hey, dude, first off, it's always an honor when I do get to make my trip down to Denver, hang out with you in the great studios down there. But my journey back home the other night was not fantastic. It took me a while with all that snow.
Yeah, it sounded pretty epic. I was glad you sent me the message that you made it. It was, you know, it took me a while to get home that night, so I couldn't even imagine you having to make that trip.
I was thinking, I'm like, maybe I call Ben and see what he's up to, any guest rooms or something like that. But no, made it back. All right, we're all set and good and ready to go. But I appreciate you jumping on the program. Certainly, Ben, this is a weird week, and we all know that this was way bigger than football, and we were all just first and foremost thinking of DeMar Hamlin and in that situation. And what was going to happen there with Hamlin and his family and his teammates. But now you are, you know, there are people wondering what is going to happen with this game? What potentially could be the plans? What are you hearing as far as what we could do with the Bills-Bengals game? Do we put this one away and just mark it down as a draw, as a tie, or what?
Well, right now I think what they're going to do is mark it as a no contest so it doesn't go on either team's record, and then they'll go with the winning percentages. All options are on the table. They've explored a bunch of different things, up to and including you know, trying to eliminate one of the Chiefs games in order to make the number of games correct, you know, using a random number generator at random. They've come up with all kinds of harebrained ideas. No idea is too stupid, I think. And then they try to figure it out from there. So, you know, that's really where it's at right now, is kind of figuring out how they're going to do it. But it looks like they're just going to play week 18 as scheduled, and then kind of sort of, go from there and see if they can use the winning percentages and determine seeding that way.
And that might be the easiest way, is just, okay, let it all take place, see what happens here, and then maybe our decision is made for us, depending on how the weekend looks. Maybe Buffalo, Cincinnati loses, Kansas City wins. Who knows? Maybe it gets a little bit more clear if they just let the weekend play out.
Well, and it might, and I think that's the other part of this. There's no time to reschedule the game, so they just have to figure out how to coexist without it. You know, in the end, I think that the situation will resolve itself amicably. I mean, if you think about it, Buffalo and Cincinnati sort of get a bye out of this because they only had to play, you know, part of one game, so there's less wear and tear on the body. So in a way, they sort of get their own bye. So, you know, I think there's merits to, you know, to discussing that and just going with the winning percentages at the end.
It's certainly bizarre. Obviously, uncharted territory for everybody, whether that's Roger Goodell, the teams involved, the media covering this situation. Benjamin, how much are you looking into this, though? And again, it was a terrible thing that happened, a freak kind of deal that happened with DeMar Hamlin. But it's just another reminder of how violent this game can be. And you've already had a weird year with the concussions, with Tua's concussions, too. Do you think it's going to be a very interesting offseason for the NFL when they start analyzing some of these injuries? And whether they're, you know, mediocre injuries, not, you know, mild injuries or whatever, or just big things like what we're seeing throughout the league?
Well, I think the league will examine the process. I think they'll look at the protocols in place and see if there's anything they can improve. I'm not 100% that there's going to be a vast overhaul per se, but definitely they will look at these things. I mean, you're talking about with this particular case with Hamlin, a very freak once in a lifetime accident type thing, and you know obviously we haven't seen it before, which lends to that. I will say there's no truth to the there were people floating out vaccine rumors and stuff like that. There's obviously no truth to that. It's simply a violent hit to the chest that right as the heartbeat was paused and all that kind of stuff. So. They'll review policies, procedures, see if there's any new safety equipment, what the leading technology is, but I don't see a vast overhaul coming.
Benjamin Albright joining us from a host of Broncos Country tonight on KOA. All right, moving on to the Broncos situation. One more game left, thankfully, and then we can start turning the page here officially and see what's out there for the Broncos. Let me just get this one out of the way. Rosberg is not really in consideration, right?
No. And everybody knows that. No, he's not. I love what he's done for the team. I love what he's done as an interim head coach. But in the end, he is not really in consideration for that coaching job.
All right. So then we go to the top three guys, at least the top three names. They may not be the top three candidates, but we're hearing, of course, Jim Harbaugh, Dan Quinn, which I know, Ben, is your guy, and then Sean Payton. And it just feels like if you're just looking at those three guys, I almost just feel like, man, you gambled so much on the Russell Wilson deal that maybe you don't try to gamble again on the Sean Payton deal if that's what it takes. Is the safe bet here just to go with a guy like Dan Quinn, who you've already interviewed for this job?
Well, that's sort of the one consideration, and you'd have to look at the staff Dan Quinn would bring in, potentially Brian Schottenheimer. I think that right now, I think with the ownership, I think that's sort of a fallback option. I think they are firmly in pursuit of Jim Harbaugh and, going to take a look at that. I know they're going to make some calls on the Sean Payton thing, but, I don't know about that. There's been some behind the scenes chatter, that people were dissatisfied with the way Sean Payton left the Saints, kind of quit on that football team. And, some people that he worked with before have not been overly complimentary of the way he was in terms of throwing people under the bus at times. So, I don't know that that situation is as prevalent maybe as media makes it out to be. The Harbaugh thing, though, I mean, I will say that they're going to take a swing at it. Whether or not he leaves Michigan, that's ultimately up to him, but they're certainly going to take a swing at it.
I wonder how much the state of college football is going to weigh on Harbaugh's decision, because now it's crazier than ever worrying about NIL stuff, and it's only going to, and in my mind, at least for the next 5 years, it's only going to get crazier. I just wonder if, not necessarily old guy, but, a guy that's not necessarily a spring chicken, looks at the landscape or the down on the horizon and is like, I don't know that I want to deal with all this stuff anymore. Maybe I'll just go back to the NFL.
Yeah, it was a lot easier paying guys in cash and brown paper bags under the table, right? Now that it's all above board and regular, no, I'm just kidding. I think there's something to be said for that. I think that there's something to be said for that, because you look at the way things are done now, and you have to be able to navigate the transfer portal exceptionally well as well, And if you're not able to do that, it's a as a head coach, that can be a problem as well, keeping people from transferring or, all that kind of stuff. So I do think that's something that coaches are going to have to take into consideration in addition to all this NIL money.
Ben, what are your concerns about those three guys, if you have any? And I know you said from the beginning, you were high on Dan Quinn. But if you're looking at, you look at Harbaugh. Okay, he was with San Francisco for, 4 years? Although he packed a huge punch while he was there, but 4 years. And he's kind of a four-year kind of guy. He hangs around, he rebuilds stuff, and then he gets out of there. Sean Payton, you outlined that a little bit. And then with Dan Quinn, of course, we know he had some very, a lot of success with Atlanta, had the crazy collapse in the Super Bowl. But when you look at those three guys, we're all talking about the positives. What are some of the things that bother you about potentially bringing them in as the head coach?
Well, I think the nail on the head with Harbaugh, it's how long is he going to be there? It's going to take at least a 6-year deal with big numbers to bring somebody in. And is he going to be there that long? Because, the way that he does things is kind of, I'm there for 4 years and then I move along. With Dan Quinn, it's more about, is he a guy that's capable of getting back to those heights? We saw him get there once before. What is it that he is going to bring aside from a sense of stability in the adult in the room? Is he going to be able to make them win? And then Sean Payton, we saw him win with Drew Brees, really haven't seen him win without him. You know, you were talking about a guy who had five seasons that were 500 or losing seasons when he had Drew Brees in his prime. He also was suspended for, you know, for Bountygate. You know, it's just, I don't know. There's kind of a lot of baggage there. He's a guy that rubs people the wrong way coming off the Parcells tree sometimes. So I think there's negatives to all of them. I think the question is, you got to find the right guy to be your leader and accept those negatives as you hire him.
And it's kind of like the draft in some cases. Yeah, you know these guys, they have a track record, but still, you don't know how they're going to, how this coach is going to react here with this dynamic, with Russell Wilson and all that. It's sometimes it can be a crapshoot, even if the interview goes, you know, swimmingly. On the Russell Wilson side of things, Ben, my producer and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, I really loved seeing Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler and these guys come out and support a Russell Wilson. But my producer Angel brought up a good question: like, why did that take so long for Jeudy to maybe put something out publicly like that?
I think Jerry Rosberg, you know, kind of relit a fire under people, and then they had a players-only meeting after that. And I think they decided out of that 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 was the right thing to do, that even though they'd been quiet and trying to pretend and ignore all that stuff and pretend like they don't hear it or see it, maybe acknowledging it, being honest with it, and cutting it off at the knees was probably the best way to go. So I think it's a combination of Jerry Rosberg's leadership and then the players-only meeting they had.
If Jerry Rosberg was 57 instead of 67, do you think he'd be in more of a consideration for this job?
Maybe. I don't know. I tend to believe you just don't ever hire the interim coach. You know, you get kind of a rally around the interim phenomenon after a coach gets fired as everybody kind of closes ranks. You know, teams close ranks and they play a little better and get a few more wins. But then the next year, once you've had that, the interim coach tends to fall off. You can go back and look. You know, Romeo Crennel with the Chiefs. Freddie Kitchens wasn't the head coach, but you saw the regression there. Then you can go on and on. It's very rare that the interim coach goes on to succeed in year two.
Well, it sure is going to be interesting to see what they do at that head coach spot. But, Benjamin, always appreciate you, my man. Broncos country rocking and rolling. Love what you do. And we'll look to catch up with you soon, okay?
Yeah, absolutely, brother. Take care.
All right, thanks, man. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. He is, just trust me, talking to him in more detail, too, he's not a big Sean Payton guy. And so his thing is, like, grumbling throughout the league is that, you know, Payton left the Saints when the going got tough, when their salary cap issue was in a bad spot, and he's like looking at it going, it's going to be a long year next year. I'm just going to go out and I'm going to take this TV job, which, listen, hard to fault a guy sometimes. You can go do a cushy TV job, make millions of dollars just sitting there talking about football. You don't fault him. But that's where I go like this, Angel. The Broncos situation is pretty rough, unless you really believe Russell Wilson is going to work out. Because if you don't, then you're looking at it going, how the hell am I going to win here? If you don't believe in Russell Wilson, you don't believe in the Broncos right now.
Well, another aspect of that in New Orleans was he didn't have Drew Brees for most of the last 2 years. He had the rib injury, and then he was out. He retired, and then Sean did one more year. So
yeah.
Quarterback is going to be a big conversation with him.
Well, and a lot of these guys, I mean, okay, if Sean Payton comes out back to coaching, theoretically, could this be his last job as a head coach?
Could be.
So if you're going to go at it and you're Sean Payton, you're highly touted, and you're going to take a job, don't you want to go in and say, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to go down swinging that way. So it means I want to pick out my quarterback that I think I can work with closely. Not a guy that's been in the league for 8+ years that obviously had a bad year last time around.
And there's baggage with it.
And there's a little bit of baggage. It's just a tough situation. You just, again, you wonder, like, how would Harbaugh and Russell Wilson work out? That's like two random stray dogs meeting each other for the first time, and
they're
just weird.
Really goofy people.
Yeah.
Like, Harbaugh's a goof.
Really weird, dude. Just weird. Remember the Colin Cowherd interview he did years ago? If you haven't seen, go look it up. It's so uncomfortable. So freaking uncomfortable.
He was like, you know, at like high school summer camps with his shirt off and his khakis. That was just weird.
Yeah. Does he still wear the Sharpie around his?
I think so.
Like a little necklace Sharpie?
Do we have to all start wearing khakis if he comes to the Broncos?
Probably. That's the thing. You bring Harbaugh in and you got a bunch of things about you now. You got Russell Wilson with his Let's Ride
and
the threes and the hats. And then you have Harbaugh with his sweatshirts, his orange and blue sweatshirt and khakis. And you just have a bunch of things.
So hats, khakis, wristbands.
Boy, I tell you, if Harbaugh comes here, and they suck. Talk about the most popular crap fest
they're out of here
we've ever seen.
They'll move to Utah.
Get out. Yeah, then it's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, Salt Lake City needs a football team.
Oh, man. Greg Penner means business, though. This is what I'm saying, though. Harbaugh's the sexy pick, but he only head coached in the league for 4 years. How long has he been at Michigan? Is this fifth year?
Five or six.
You know, he was at, Stanford? I want to say, and again, he was amazing at all these places. But he was only at Stanford for like that amount of time, too. And then where was he before that? San Diego State? Why don't I remember? But he wasn't there for very long. And you just, you know, you wonder about these guys. Now, San Diego, he was there for 3 years, turned it around. Then he got the job for Stanford, turned it around. Then he got the job with San Francisco, turned it around, and then Michigan. Oh, he's been at Michigan for a while.
7 years. This was his seventh year.
Wow. Is that time flies, man. I have no concept of time anymore. I'm always the guy that's like, yeah, it was 5 years ago. 5 years, even though it was like 30 years ago. Wow.
It's interesting because the NIL stuff didn't start till last year. Maybe now that he's gotten 2 years of experience with that, maybe he doesn't like it.
I wouldn't.
Saban doesn't.
If I were a great head coach and I could do either, or I could at least try either, there is no way I would pick the college game over the NFL game.
Nope.
And that's nothing to do with who's more popular or whatever. Say you give me the same amount of money, the same guarantee that I'm going to be there for 5 years, whatever. You couldn't pay me enough if, you know, like today you could pay me. I'd go be the head coach of UNC and make a few million or whatever he's making. I don't know. Or CSU. I'd suck at it and we'd lose a lot, but I'd get some money for a moment. But if I had to pick and I was good at it and I had choices, you couldn't pay me enough. I'd stay with the NFL because I don't have to worry about re-recruiting. I don't have to worry about NIL. I don't have to worry about conference realignment. You know, none of that stuff. Transfer portal. Recruiting in and of itself is difficult. Now you're throwing all this other stuff in. No way, man. Washington State's coach coming out saying, dude, there are coaches in the Pac-12 that are contacting my players, coaches that are contacting them with NIL deals per parents of his student athletes. This is happening. So no, if I'm Harbaugh, I'm like, deal with all that crap, but still be good at football. Or the Broncos.
I mean, who really wants to live in Ann Arbor?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
There's no shot there.
No.
It's Ann Arbor or Denver.
Although playing the big house is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. Just build a big house in Denver.
Harbaugh gets the job and he's like, I only have one demand. The big house.
I need 50,000 more seats.
We need to double that. And I want a lifetime supply of Sharpies and khakis.
And hats. Not from Russell, though. I want my own hats that say Jim on them.
Who would you rat for? You're not a Broncos fan.
No.
You follow them for the show. For the sake of entertainment, for the sake of just whatever, who would you rather see head coach of the Denver Broncos? Knowing that if they win, it's more fun to talk about them every day.
I'm going to say Dan Quinn. I think Harbaugh ends up in Carolina, honestly. I don't see the Broncos winning a bidding war with any other teams to get Peyton.
I don't think so either.
And I like your idea that Quinn is just would be the safe pick. And if it doesn't work out in 3 years, you move on.
You move on and you move on from Russ.
Yes.
So this Dan Quinn and then the Schottenheimer thing would be, this is the move.
It's a bridge.
For Russ. If it works, it's not a bridge. But if it doesn't work, then we're moving on from Russ. And we're moving on from...
It's a wooden bridge. You can take it down or burn it if it doesn't work.
Expand it.
Yes.
If you need to. I like that. That's good. Dan Quinn, I want to sign you for a 5-year deal. Just know that this is all about Russell Wilson. And if we go down in flames, then we're going to cut clean slate it all. Unless you really like Dan Quinn. That's why the Hackett thing, though, just thinking about this. That's why the Nathaniel Hackett thing, you really put him in a tough spot. Now, I know you're not going to turn away signing a great quarterback because, again, Russell Wilson, before this season, we labeled him as a great quarterback. So you're not going to turn away that opportunity. But tying him to Hackett doomed the man. Hackett was so excited about this, more excited than anybody about this. But your expectations went from you're a new coach, 5 wins would be awesome, 6 wins would be great. They're about to get that. What are they at, 4 or 5? I mean, they're not that far away.
I want to say 5.
They're at 4 and 12. So 5, 6 wins would have been great for a new coach. And I don't know, whatever your expectations were. But then you add Russell Wilson to that mix, and it's like playoffs or bust.
Super Bowl or bust.
And they busted. And what did I always tell you? If you're going to say playoffs or bust to me, what's your bust plan? And their bust plan was Hackett. That was it. Playoffs or bust for the Broncos. And they busted up their head coaching staff. 39 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor is Tommyknocker from Tommyknocker Brewing in Idaho Springs. This is a go-to, according to OnGel, a peach dream. It's a fruited sour. Pick up selections from Tommyknocker or any of your favorite adult beverages at On the Rocks Liquor, right off of Highway 34 and 47th Avenue, right near Buffalo Wild Wings there. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. That's On the Rocks Liquor, helping us keep this show rocking and rolling. It's these sponsors that support this program that keep it cooking for us. Okay, Angel, I have a pair of tickets to give away.
Ooh.
For, let's see, tomorrow night, we got UNC men's basketball taking on Montana State. 6 o'clock tomorrow night, Bank of Colorado Arena. This is a good one.
Yeah, a little rematch of the Big Sky Championship from last spring. Yeah. Dalen said it earlier. A little bit of revenge in this game. In basketball, at least in the Big Sky, Montana State, Weber, Eastern Washington, and UNC are your top five usually, and this is a big matchup for these two schools.
Yeah, it is, and you want to see, as Dalen told us, you're trying to learn and grow and do something new every single game and get better than you were the last game out. So, you know, starting out 0-2 in the conference isn't ideal. It's all about the standings and moving up. But this would be a big opportunity if they can find a way to beat Montana State. So let's go caller number 4. You get a pair of tickets coming your way. Caller 4 on our First Advantage hotline, 970-353-1310. That's caller number 4. You got a pair of tickets to go see UNC take on Montana State tomorrow night. Again, that's 970-353-1310, 970-353-1310. Yeah, going back on the coaching search for the Broncos and how much it will really mean for, you know, George Payton and how much he'll be actually involved in this process. Well, Greg Penner says he's saying all the right things. I'm going to rely heavily on George Payton's influence and insight and into the next head coach. I don't know. I'm starting to agree with some of the texters yesterday. We're like, is even going to be here in a week? Because when you say you're relying heavily on George Payton's expertise as far as hiring a coach, well, his track record is 0-1. Incomplete almost, because Hackett didn't even finish the season. So that is troublesome going forward on this. And I do feel like you clipped his wings. Like, you took George Payton and said, you're in charge of player personnel, you're in charge of hiring a coach. And again, that was John Elway that put him in charge. But Greg Penner, man, that press conference showed he was so frustrated. He was not happy. And that's what I think people wanted to kind of see from Nathaniel Hackett, was a little pissed off. And Penner looked that way. I don't know if they're going to fire George Payton or if they just leave him there as a mouthpiece, but and to draft and try to construct the roster. Because he has done – I mean, there's players on this team that he brought in that are pretty good. You know, Patrick Surtain, obviously. That's their one Pro Bowler. That guy was all George Payton. Now, you took him over Justin Fields, which is going to maybe haunt you. I said, who's winning that right now? Patrick Surtain's winning. He's a better player than Justin Fields, right?
I think Patrick had a head start, and Justin is starting to catch up.
So he's tied right
now? Because he's a quarterback, he's going to take the lead on that just because of the position.
No doubt.
Patrick is an elite corner.
You have to, in order to win a competition like that, you have to be Champ Bailey or Darrell Revis, and they have to be, I don't know, Nick Foles. Like, because even if you're a Matt Ryan type, you could say who was bigger, Matt Ryan or one of the top corners. The quarterbacks get it because they're doing all of it. And if you can keep a quarterback in place for 5+, maybe to 10 years, then or 8 years or whatever, then yeah, that's the goal. Shutdown corners are great. They're nice. But an average to good quarterback is hard to come by. Look at all the quarterback controversy and turmoil and roller coastering we've seen throughout this. But he has had some nice moves. I mean, still, Patrick Surtain's a good one. I don't know. When I say that, I start looking at the roster, and then I'm like, these guys were already here. Javonte Williams, okay, hurt. Latavius Murray was a nice pickup. He might be a guy you want to sign in the offseason.
Did he move Miller last year?
Yes.
In the trade?
Yes, he did. So, was that
good?
He got
Gregory out of that, so he's been...
Yeah, you ended up getting Randy Gregory, but who's been hurt all the time. But Vaughn's been hurt, too. That's the thing. Like, some of the moves that he's made, we still got to wait and see. Like, Greg Dulcich, we haven't seen enough. We've seen spurts, but he was out so much in the first portion of the season. And now, of course, the back half of the season, too. I mean, we got to see Albert O and play in a game last week. Haven't seen him play in forever. Yeah, exactly. Just starting to get his name down. And then they stop playing him. 48 minutes after the hour. What's on the tube tonight? A big one. We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Lemons Heating and Cooling, HVAC contractor in Greeley. Free estimates are available now. LemonsHeatingAndCooling.com. Air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning, you name it. They'll take care of it. That's Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-567-0798. What's on the tube tonight? Like I said earlier, a big one in the Mountain West Conference. Colorado State looking to get back on track somehow, especially in the conference, going up against a tough team tonight in Nevada on the road. 8:30 tonight, and this will be on FS1. So, heck of an opportunity to watch this game. And Isaiah Stevens, our guy. We have the Isaiah Stevens show coming up on Friday, and we'll be looking forward to this game tonight because this marks number 100 for him. So good luck to Isaiah. And, hey, are we going to see somebody? People are giving me crap because Nikola Jokic has won so many of my Player of the Week awards. My Player of the Week awards go out to teams or players on teams that we cover, that we talk about on a daily basis here. Certainly the Nuggets are in the mix.
Oh, it helps when you win.
It helps when you win, and it helps when you put up giant numbers. So it's... You got to put up big numbers and find ways to win. So I'm wanting a guy like Isaiah Stevens to grab one, Dalen Kuntz, a couple of these guys. But, you know, you got to do something. You got to do something a little extra, a little something out of the box here.
71 points. It's easy.
Yeah, do a little 71 points.
Anyone
I told Dalen that
it.
Before he left. I said, hey, you're gonna get 71 points tonight or tomorrow night?
I could see him getting 40.
Maybe.
He's gotten over 30 before.
Yeah, so. Yeah. He could go off. Yeah, he could go off. Isaiah could go off tonight.
I love that he chuckled at that. Just, yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be nice. 71. No big deal. I don't know. I just CSU's only four. Are they 4.5 point dogs in this game?
I saw four.
Four point dogs. Don't know. I have no feel for Colorado State right now. You could have Isaiah go off. I think John Tonje goes off tonight, though. I'm going to say that. If the Rams win, in order for them to win, they're going to need Tonje to be the Robin tonight for Isaiah Stevens' Batman. They're going to need a sidekick. He's going to need a sidekick, and I think that's going to be John Tonje. Although I like your boy, too. Your suggestion about Patrick Cartier, can he get going and be another big-time player? Again, you are going to need two or three of these guys to step up and be big. All right, closing thoughts today. Great show. We had the Dalen Kuntz Show. We talked to Coach Steve Smiley. That was great, as always. We caught up with Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Who are the Buffaloes? They're very good on one hand, and on the other, they're very bad. So who are they? I don't know. Poor Tad Boyle's going to lose what little hair he has left watching this basketball team. And then Benjamin Albright from Broncos Country tonight jumping on, talking to us about maybe what the plans would be in the NFL for this Bengals-Bills situation and the coaching search, trying to make more sense of it. So it was a fun show today. Looking forward to this game tonight. 8:30 on FS1, CSU taking on Nevada. So this is going to be a big game. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday. I'm live and on location at the Budweiser Event Center for the USA Arena Cross deal. So looking forward to that one. All right, folks, that'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.